move to item 1184, please.
Adopt the fiscal year 2016-17 fall supplemental budget and make other budget-related changes.
Okay. Andrew Scott, please come walk us through this proposal.
Naturally.
A little slowly. But
walk us. Yeah, I should. Sorry. Didn't mean the bad pun. But you are actually walking now, so
yes,
that's an improvement.
Got rid of the crutches, so that's a good step forward. And I'm here, Andrew Scott, budget director, and I'm here with Jessica Kennard, the city's supplemental budget coordinator. I'm going to do a very, very quick recap. We did have a work session on the fall supplemental budget last week. We went through in detail the requests that are on there. I'm going to talk a little bit about, again, recap what's filed, and then there are some amendments that have been passed around that I think we'll discuss today as well. So just as a reminder, we did have an $8 million excess balance carryover from last fiscal year. In the bump that, as it was filed, that has been $4 million of that is set aside for capital projects. The other $4 million went into general fund contingency. As filed, the ordinance funds $4.7 million of capital projects, so exceeds the 50% financial policy passed by council. It also funds $3.7 million in new requests, which would leave about $1.64 million in unrestricted contingency for the remainder of the year. In terms of position changes, there are 81.88, so just under 82 positions being added, the bulk of those in Transportation, Bureau of Development Services, and OMF, and then scattered throughout other bureaus as well. And then I do want to just remind you what we did talk about last week. The bump does include a adjustment to the current appropriation level target for the Portland Housing Bureau to address the IGA, the Intergovernmental Agreement with Multnomah County for the Joint Office of Homeless Services. So it increases Housing Bureau's budget by $3.5 million, which will, of course, be incorporated into the forecast that we issue in December.
Okay. Questions? I have one. I just want to make sure this is in the record and that I understand it correctly. I'm very happy to have included in the proposal the Vision Zero appropriation for Outer Halsey. It was my intent in doing that, and I think the commissioner in charge is understanding that those dollars from the general fund will be matched by systems development charge dollars, and that the complete project will be built, not just part of it.
Yes, and Mayor, the supplemental budget does include a budget note to that effect.
And Mayor, I should add that I was at an East Portland Transportation Forum a couple of weeks ago, and we heard strong community support for the Halsey project. So I think people would be very happy.
That's great. All right, thank you. Other questions? I know we have amendments to talk about, but other questions for staff? Okay, then maybe we should take amendments and have you two standing by, and then we'll take testimony.
Mayor, I have two amendments to offer.
Okay.
And these have been discussed with council offices. The first is a I move to adjust the supplemental budget as follows. Increase the position authority in the Water Bureau by 3.0 regular FTE, including one environmental specialist, one laboratory analyst, one, and one laboratory coordinator to address the increased workload related to lead testing in water. The Bureau will fund the positions by reducing the water fund contingency by $297,444 in the current year. Ongoing funding for the positions will be included in the annual budget development process and rates update, with impacts to rates offset by other rate reductions. And this would also require updating exhibits 1 through 5 as needed to reflect this change. And I make that motion.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. And let's keep going. If you have another one, I think.
Mayor, I have a second amendment. And Mayor, this is one co-sponsored by you, the mayor, and me. It is to allocate $20,000 in unrestricted contingency to special appropriations to repair damages to the Portland Mercado food carts. And we would update exhibits 1 through 5 as needed to reflect this change. And I have some, first of all, I like a second, and then I want to explain that amendment.
I'll second that. Okay.
So is it further? 20 or 25?
Because the We're asking for 20.
20.
Oh.
It was originally 25, but it looks like 20 will make a difference. So.
20. Mayor, on this amendment, the Portland Mercado is a project of Hacienda, CDC, and other community partners and has been funded generously by the Portland Development Commission. Recently, the food trucks were vandalized, and someone broke into the food trucks, damaged the doors, stole property, did other bad things. A number of food trucks were knocked out of business for a couple of days. As part of the rebuilding, there's extensive damage to the food trucks and to the area. They have started a Kickstarter campaign and are receiving private contributions to help repair. I understand people are contributing between $5 and $500 towards this cause. But the reality is these are hardworking immigrant small businesses who can't afford to be out of business for 1 or 2 days. And it is shameful that someone chose to damage their trucks, which is their livelihood. What we're proposing, Mayor, you and I are proposing that we set aside the $20,000, that we ask the Portland Development Commission to determine the extent of the losses, less whatever insurance provides, and private fundraising, and that this money be used to help with the repairs. And, of course, it would be my hope that not all the money would be necessary to be expended. I spoke yesterday to the executive director of PDC. She's happy to play that role to determine what the extent of the damages are and then to oversee the distribution of these funds. And then it would be my intention to report back to council how these funds were expended.
That's great. Thank you. The only thing I would add to that good summary is that I was out at the groundbreaking for the first of the four projects in Lentz that are finally implementing the Lentz Action Plan last Sunday. And there was a great community gathering of all these folks that have worked for years on Lentz. I was joking with Ray Heitz, some of you know, is an activist in that neighborhood, that when he and I started talking about these projects, we both had dark brown hair. But nevertheless, after all this time and all this planning, they're finally happening. And so it was this great celebration. And there were a bunch of people there from the Asian Health and Services Center who were talking about how wonderful the Mercado is. So here we have the Asian community celebrating the Latino community's biggest accomplishment in community development. So the fact that it has that kind of community support, Mr. Fish, means that we should step up and help them make sure this place stays great. Okay, those two amendments are before us.
I just had a question of the
please.
Sponsor. So it is your intent that this is truly a one-time emergency appropriation, not to become an ongoing shadow appropriation?
Yes, and Commissioner Salzman, thanks for raising that, and it's also an issue that our independent budget officer cares a lot about as well. This is a purely one-time grant to help some local small business with it, deal with an extraordinary occurrence. This is not intended to be a recurring budget ask.
It is for purposes of emergency repairs, so stated. So
thank you.
I appreciate the question.
So we'll take action on the first of these, put it before us, and then we can move on to the rest of them. So. Other questions? We'll take testimony on everything, but we're going to put them all. All right, let's put them all on the table then. We'll put them all on the table then, take testimony, and we can adopt them in order. Okay, let's take the next motion, please, on amendments.
Mayor, I move to make the following adjustment to the supplemental budget as proposed. Increase the Bureau of Programming Expenses in the Portland Bureau of Transportation by $150,000 to provide MITRE repairs to recreational vehicles lived in by the homeless, allowing them to relocate or, at a minimum, make their vehicles safe for habitation, and to provide resources for dismantling of certain RVs. If approved, those dollars be used to recycle derelict RVs with little or no salvage value that are cost prohibitive for owners to recycle. As a result, these RVs are often sold or auctioned for very minimal amounts and repeatedly cycle through the tow yards and back onto the streets of Portland. These vehicles are not safe for habitation, not be rehabilitated and pose an environmental hazard because of a range of fluids and substances that leak from them. PBOT estimates this funding will allow the Bureau to dismantle 75 to 100 vehicles in the first year at 800 to 1,000 per vehicle, with diminishing numbers in the following years. Based on initial projections, PBOT plans to allocate $30,000 for repairs and $120,000 for dismantling and recycling.
All right, I'll second that.
Second.
Okay.
So just as a clarification, no, but none of the vehicles that people are actually living in, regardless of whether they should be living there, they're not going to be towed and squashed.
These are vehicles that have already been towed.
They've already been towed.
That's right. There's somebody staff here about this, but we got a presentation about this. My understanding, good question, Commissioner, let's make sure we understand this. My understanding is the vehicles involved are ones that have already been towed,
right,
and that are coming out of a tow yard empty of people.
My right. question is, are they empty of people before they are towed to the...
Good question, and I don't know the answer to that, so...
Is Dave Benson here?
Yeah, he's here.
Dave, are you here?
Are we going to do a presentation on this?
Well, it looks like we ought to at least have questions before we put the amendment before us. So let's get those questions asked and answered.
Dave Benson, Bureau of Transportation Commissioner. I'm sorry, I didn't hear your question over in the gallery.
These vehicles, when they are any vehicles towed to the tow yard that still have people in them? Are people ejected from the?
No, I know our towers, when they go out for an abandoned auto, if there's people in the vehicles, they will not tow them.
Thank you. That's all I need to know.
All right, so that amendment is in front of us. Stand by in case there are more questions after testimony. Now, Commissioner Salzman, I believe you have an amendment.
Yes. I would move to make the following adjustment to the supplemental budget as proposed. Amend one regular full-time equivalent currently requested as a regular position to limited term in the Portland Housing Bureau's budget. This position will provide data collection and analysis services for the Joint Office of Homeless Services and was intended to be a limited duration request, and update exhibits 1 through 5 as needed to reflect this change.
Okay, so second.
Second.
All right.
Mayor, we have a second on Novick's amendment?
Yes, I did, and he did too, so we have two of them, so go ahead. All right. Okay, other proposed amendments to put on the table before we take testimony?
I don't have a proposed amendment, but I just want to make it clear what's happening by adopting this budget. As you'll remember, Parks asked for $1.6 million to as a match for $7 million in FEMA money for repair of things that got dislodged in the floods and the rains. The City Budget Office and the Council, by adopting this budget, has directed Parks and me to use $1.2 million from the sale of the surplus property to the Housing Bureau, which I had been planning to use to either acquire property in park deficient areas or build a park in a park deficient area. Instead, we've been asked to put that towards fixing the problems from the floods. And because the amount that we got from the sale to the Housing Bureau is $1.2 million, that leaves $478,641, which we don't have a match for, which means that we would be leaving $1.4 million from the federal government on the table when we wouldn't be able to do the projects. So I just want to make that quite clear that, in my opinion, we should be repairing things, and we'll need to come to Council to let you know what's not going to get repaired.
So I don't think that's an outcome that I would like, but I guess I don't understand the timeline. So by when must we put up all those match funds in order to gain all the federal dollars that we would be matching?
My understanding is there's 18 months to put that up, but I'm not sure when that 18-month window started.
But the point is, I don't know where I'd get the other nearly $500,000. I mean, I can come back in the spring. But
sure. I think
Fritz, I think, has done an admirable job framing that concern, and I think we have time to address it. And in the interim, I'd also want to know if we have any flexibility with the windfall of SDC revenues we received, whether there's some adjustments we can make in the budget, because one of the great benefits of this bull market is we're getting huge amounts of systems development charges to address something you and I care deeply about, which is building parks in East Portland. So I'd want to know how that balances out with this request.
Actually, well, thank you for bringing that up. We have already allocated $6 million of system development charge money to doing some work at Park Lane Park, which is what the community's greatest desire out there. We would still need about $20 million for that, which we don't have. We've also allocated money for various other projects, and obviously we can't use system development charges for doing repairs.
So it might be useful to know that that date. Is it July? Is it January 1 of 18? When is that date? It would be useful to know that. And remind me again what the match ratio is. How many dollars?
It's 3-1. It's nearly $1.5 million.
In my opinion, and I suspect the budget office might agree with this opinion, because I know how they think about money, it would be crazy to leave that kind of match unrequited. So one way or another, I think the city should make sure we fund fully our side of that equation so that we get $3 for every one that we spend, because we don't get those opportunities very often. The question is just when do we have to spend all those dollars in order to achieve that match, but we might need a budget note in order to make it clear that, well, maybe we don't have to have a budget note for council intent, but anyway, it would certainly be my hope and expectation that we do that.
We can get back in terms of when that timeline is up. And in the city budget office analysis, we actually suggested the parks take some existing maintenance money in order to ensure that we get the match for those repairs, which of course would delay existing maintenance projects. So there is a trade-off there, but we felt like the trade-off was manageable within those existing resources.
Right. Well, we've got the boilers up that were not funded in this bump either. And I do want to return to the $1.2 million from selling the park property to housing. I thought we were being entrepreneurial and collaborative and would then help everybody out by having that money available for new parks. As I say, I know I don't have the votes for it, so we'll just move on.
All right. Thank you. All right. Other amendments, suggestions, or requests of staff? All right. Then let's
I would like to ask Andrew to what's your response to Commissioner Fritz's concern? I mean, what do you think that what we're doing in this bump is appropriate, and we can wait to get the match later on, or do you? I don't want to put you on the spot like this, but what can you give the argument for putting us in the situation we're in now?
Just specifically around this issue. Yeah, we absolutely think we should capture all of the FEMA money that's available. When we looked at the entirety of all of the requests on the table, including those from parks, in our view, it was better to take the money from the existing sale to make sure we got that match, which there is a trade-off there, as the commissioner noted, is not, expanding the park system. On the larger issue, one of the things that we've raised is the ongoing concern that as we expand the park system, we're shifting more general fund to operate and maintain those parks. So we just want to be really clear about those decisions. But we suggested taking that funding and then reallocating existing funding. So I don't want to overshadow. There are trade-offs in that, but we felt like those trade-offs were the best way to repair the damage from the storm and then continue to work on those other maintenance issues as we move forward.
Andrew, this is, for me, the first time this issue has been flagged, so no one has brought this to my attention before today. And if this is something the commissioner in charge feels strongly about, then I agree with the mayor. I'd like to know what our options are going forward and both what the timeline is and then whether we have other options. And it sounds like we have enough time to come up with a creative solution.
Commissioner Fish, I think you missed the work session. I think you were ill or traveling, so that we did discuss that at the work session.
I'm just saying it's the first time it's been brought to my attention.
But again, my philosophy, and I think it's reflected in this proposal, is that when we get a match opportunity, we should step up and do it. If it's otherwise an investment that the city would want to make, we're doing that with the Halperin sequence in this proposal because the time is right now. Either we do it or we don't. We should not pass that milestone with this opportunity without funding the match. But the question is, how long does the council have? How many more budget exercises will we go through before it's too late? And I think there's at least two. I think there's the spring bump and the next general fund budget, but it's worth checking. Maybe
Great.
No.
And I'll just add from what I know from the Bureau, Ryan Kinsler from the budget office. The project managers indicated that I believe it's 18 months from the time of the event that they would need to make a claim with FEMA for the reimbursement. So that would be June of 2017 that they have to the timeline. They've also indicated, the Bureau has indicated, that the $1.2 million, the current estimates are an estimate. It could be less. It could be substantially more. So the full $1.6 million might not be needed after everything's all set.
Mayor, can I make a proposal?
Sure,
please. Because this is a really good conversation. Why don't we drop a budget note that says in the spring bump, what's the next bump? That in the spring bump, we would ask the budget office to come forward with options for how we can capitalize on this FEMA match and work with the then commissioner in charge on developing options for how we can fund it.
Okay.
Does that capture the spirit?
I like that idea.
Steve, okay. Commissioner Fritz?
Thank you.
All right, so that's some consensus about that. Let's please do put that in the match. Obviously, that's before June, so... and just like we did with the Halperin sequence this time, we flagged that before. Now we're paying for it. It would be the same kind of a process. Okay, good discussion. Appreciate that, Commissioner Fritz. Any other questions? All right, now let's move to testimony, please.
We have five people signed up. The first three, please come on up, are Charles Bridge Crane Johnson, Reedy Gregg, and Mary Eng.
Okay, come on up. Okay, Mr. Johnson, I think you're first.
Good morning, Commissioners. For the record, my name has been cited as Charles Bridge Crane Johnson. And in the context of this budget, it's and modification, it's important that we note what's really not a proud Portland tradition. In addition to abuse to protesters from police, we have a shameful tradition of compelling people to sleep outside on sidewalks, bridges, tents. For those who are really attentive, this discussion comes with a 48-page PDF. And while we are making strides and we have a joint office with the county working on homelessness, we know that the de facto policy of this city is for 1,000-plus people to lay on our sidewalks and lay under our bridges and with almost nothing, sometimes a tarp. They can't get that from any city agency if they don't have a tarp or a blanket. They have to just hope that the Portland Rescue Mission hasn't run out. If the temperature gets to around 33 degrees, we might find some volunteers that will open buildings that they can go into until 7 o'clock in the morning, or maybe some places for a full day if it's really super cold. So when we talk about this budget modifications and adjustments, it's important that we don't be overly congratulatory to ourselves about what we are accomplishing, because what we are accomplishing is deliberately, willfully choosing to treat local people worse than we treat refugees in foreign refugee camps and emergency service centers in Haiti, in people fleeing Syria. They have tents. They have camps with water brought in. The reason they don't have trash piling up and creating chaos in the Lentz neighborhood is because government agencies and NGO agencies service those people by providing them with hygiene facilities and trash disposal, which we don't do. We will intentionally this year keep about 1,000 people from having any safe, hygienic place to live. We've tried. We'll be able to look back and say, well, it was a smaller number this year than it was in the previous year. But the truth is, we're choosing not to allocate services, resources, so that the hundreds of toilets that are in Veterans Memorial Coliseum and Moda Center that don't get used many nights of the year won't be available to those people. We haven't found a way, so let's just not be overly congratulatory, and let's admit that the Portland way, as talked about by Ellen Osinetz in front of Judge Simon, is not always such a great way. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, next. Go ahead.
Thanks so much for including us. I'm Randy Gregg from the Halperin Landscape Conservancy. I just wanted to briefly say thank you for including us in this budget. The $1.5 million, we believe, will be extremely well spent. We have increasing momentum with our efforts to restore the fountains and to kind of bring them back to life. In an increasingly growing neighborhood, more population, more businesses coming in, more buildings coming in. We have a growing embrace from the neighborhood. In fact, there is a sort of branding campaign of the major businesses there to rebrand the area as the Fountain District. So there's a real embrace of the plazas that hasn't been there for quite some time. And then also, I just came back from the American Society of Landscape Architects, where we did a presentation on our efforts there, and we had about 250 folks in the room from all around the country. And one of the preeminent architects, landscape architects of our time, Lori Olin, who's done much work here in Portland, got up and talked about just how important these fountains have been to the profession, to the influencing a whole generation of landscape architects to make more playful urban spaces. And so I recognize some really tough choices that you all have to make. And thanks for this vote in restoring these important resources to us. And lastly, I really want to thank the staff of Parks. We've worked through some really, really difficult budget choices, and you know, they have been so fantastic to work with. It's been, you know, a hard grind, and we've got an established budget, and we're ready to roll. So thank you so much for your efforts.
thank you and Karen and others who've worked so hard to get people to make commitments to match our money. Thank you. Okay. Next. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Council. My name is Mary Rose Lenore Eng. Eng is Norwegian for meadow, German for narrow, and Chinese for something, too. So I just want to thank you for this microphone, for this timer, which reflects that I have 2 minutes and 43 seconds left. Thank you for Carla, all the work she does. Thank Robert King for always being so fantastic and kind to me and gracious. I want to thank our beautiful city attorney, Judy Prosper. We endured a very tough meeting last night. I want to thank you, Mayor Hales, and Ms. Fritz for being present, for Mr. Simon. I want to thank the Mercado for really spicing up Lentz. I think it's so beautiful. I love the beauty of it and the beauty of the Latino activist movement as I knew it in Los Angeles. When my own family had abandoned me, I felt like the Latino community opened their arms to me and treated me so kindly. I want to thank Ms. Laura Vanderlyn, who is of Mexican nationality originally before she came to America and had some beautiful black grandkids and black daughters. And I think in some ways we've got to realize our multicultural landscape involves very complicated families. I have black cousins. I want to thank Abel Gordley for her work on the COAB and congratulate her on her Portland Development Commission house that she's obtained from her house sale. That's very interesting. Some people are viewing it as a kickback or cashola. I'm not going to make a decision on that yet, but I want to point towards Angela Graben. Angela Graben is working with Open Government, and I noticed your Open Data Transparency Initiative, and Angela Graben would like you guys to give Laura Vanderlyn's iPhone back, as well as unblock her on Twitter, because open data means that if we have an emergency like we did when I was scheduled to speak and was actually on a bus when that explosion happened downtown, you want to be able to reach your citizens. They may be looking towards Twitter. That may be their main agenda. So with budget, make some budget for your own investment in your own spirits. I suggest yoga and meditation. I suggest you resign. Once again, Charlie Hale's on the O'Day shooting. I'll go with you to Europe if you want to run away with me. And we can go to the Tate. I love the Tate Modern. I love the Tate galleries. We could, I don't know, do something humanitarian, go rescue refugees in the Mediterranean. But there's a point where city leadership requires dedication to the principle of riot prevention. And when you push people too far with not respecting their need for good leadership, you have to take accountability, sir, for the things you blame on other people when you pepper spray amputees and babies and children and women. And I don't condone rude or poor behavior, but I do recognize that we have a standard of decency that we need to ensure for all members of this community, including our G4S guards, including Michael Cohen, who I understand has been exposed for having some background problems and some brutality here. Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead, please.
Yes, my name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Watchdog PDX. On the Mercado food carts, I have a problem. I understand, and you said that was a grant. And my problem is that if the insurance comes through and covers all the costs, will the grant be reimbursed back to the city? My understanding would...
It's this net of insurance. So it's a pool of money. I don't want to interrupt you.
No, that's fine. Thank you.
But it's a great question, as always. They have, some of the small businesses have insurance, others don't. So the idea would be for those expenses that are not covered by some other source, we would provide the grant money to help them. And while I've asked for $20,000, I anticipate that we won't expend the entire $20,000. And we'll have PDC administer it so that there's a report back to council about what was a covered expense and what wasn't.
Okay, very good. Now, the issue on the Portland Parks, on Commissioner Fritz's position on this is that, in my opinion, with a match of 3-1 in dealing with FEMA, and as you know, things can come up that can change funding all the time. I mean, new administration, other disasters in other areas. And in my opinion, when you have a 3-1 match, you want to move in on that immediately because that opportunity can disappear. And you don't want to hesitate. You want to put up that funding, and it sounds like you're able to do it in some manner, but to extend this out, in my opinion, could jeopardize the overall ability to get that money in the future. And that's just my opinion, because things change all the time on getting funding. You want to move on that fast, get that into place. So my position is to try to move some funding in that area immediately and then focus on that FEMA money. Issue number two on the RV situation, it's my understanding when an RV is towed off the streets, it goes into the tow company's property, and basically it's kind of their problem. And as you know, when you get into the salvage scrap of RVs, they're not really something like Schnitzer Steel or it's really going to have an interest in, but there's a lot of headache into that in insulation, environmental issues, and all that other stuff that can come into play when you step in position on that. In my opinion, set it aside to the tow companies. That's your problem. That's what you specialize in. And you handle it, plain and simple. Keep the city out of that entirely. The other issue, again, on transportation, and it's nothing real negative, I don't like to see a lot more employees being hired at this time. I think we're in a bubble that's going to, we're going to see that when new administration takes position. And we need to be very cautious right now and begin to look at thinning out the labor force and not adding more. That's my opinion, but I think in within the next 6 to 12 months, we'll see the reality. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Yes, my name is Robert West. I'm with Film the Police 911, and I want to bring up the RV issue. A lot of these RVs that the police are towing and meter maids are towing are actually owned and operated. They're people's homes. And just because they're not there at the time of the tow truck doesn't mean that they're just abandoned. People can't afford to put them in on private property and stuff like that. You're losing a lot of RV space, and they're putting different things, building small houses and stuff like that. So as you squeeze out RV space, people wind up with RVs out on the street. You're giving the police and you're giving the tow, or you're giving the meter maids open cars to go out and just tow these vehicles. We shouldn't encourage tow companies, police, or meter maids to tow these people's homes. If I were to go over and remove your home, you'd be very upset. And these people get upset too. I mean, everything they own is in their RV. It gets towed, and then they can't get a hold of their personal property, and they lose everything. And that's not right. That's not fair. And some of these people that live in RVs actually work and stuff like that. What the city calls abandoned is someone's home. And that should, and at no point should the city put out any kind of money to dismantle or take someone's home unless the city can show for a fact that someone's not living in there. And that's what I wanted to bring up.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Okay, others?
Janice Thompson and Joe Walsh.
Come on up, please. Go ahead, please, Janice. I think you're first.
Janice Thompson, Citizens Utility Board of Oregon. I'm here with some suggestions related to the bump process and the utility bureaus. You know, it's taken me a little while to get, you know, sort out this process. It's been doable, especially since, you know, oftentimes, more typically, there's minor tweaks coming up. It's a little bit more challenging this time with the relatively atypical addition of several positions in the Water Bureau's bump request. And if it's challenging for me, It seems like it's fair to say it's probably even trickier for the pub with their monthly meeting schedule. So I've got three suggestions. One is more proactive discussion by the utility bureaus about bump requests in general, but especially if they're kind of atypical or more on the atypical end of the spectrum, with both CUB and PUB. Sharing the CBO analysis of the utility bureau's request with CUB and PUB. Last Thursday I was watching online. I couldn't be here in person, though I understand that PUB representatives were, members were, which was great. But for example, I couldn't, online, various information that was being discussed wasn't up yet. And then also have CUB and PUB, as has been occurring in the regular work sessions, also be a participant at the bump work sessions, kind of akin to having the Budget Advisory Committee, whose oversight has a little bit more of a general fund focus, was at your meeting last Thursday. Like I say, I was definitely listening. I know some PUB members were here as well, but not in a way that provided an opportunity at that point to ask questions.
So, Mayor, if I could just respond, and thank you, Janice, for all three suggestions. On the first two, we have to do a better job, and the excuse can't be that the PUB meets monthly. And while this is not a structural change of any note to our budget, I think any change that appears in a bump should be reviewed by the PUB. So I agree with your first two suggestions. And, Mayor, on the third, I wish I had raised that during the bump, because we did have the co-chairs here of the PUB. And I would hope that with the next administration that we formally invite the co-chairs and the representative of the CUB to sit at the table akin to our citizen budget folks when any bump request involving the utilities is discussed. And I would hope that that's something my colleagues would support. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Janice. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. We object to the process that you go through. When you do the amendments, you completely confuse everybody. You're the only ones that really know what's going on, because you've looked at the amendments. I hope that you've had some conversations about the amendments. But then you put them on the table here, and you go through two or three amendments, and then you take a vote. And nobody knows what you're doing. That's why you get an F on your transparency. That's one of the reasons. And that's so simple to resolve. You know, if you're going to do amendments on the budget, especially the budget, and you want people to understand what you're doing, then hold it over for a week or so, and then have another conversation where you have community input. So the community gets some time to look at it and try to figure out what you're doing.
Mr. Walsh, wait.
There should be no separation between you and the community. And up here, when I sit here and I listen to you, that's a thought that goes through my mind. They think they know more than everybody out here. And that's not true. You know more than I do, obviously. But you don't know more than everybody. So give everybody a chance to talk to you. So when you do these amendments, hold it over. I don't know if you're going to vote on this today. That's what you usually do. You listen to us, 3 minutes is up, boom, red light, get out of here, vote, aye, aye, aye. You sound like pirates. That's what you always remind me of. Five eyes. Hold it over and let the community come in and talk to you. Because we are in trouble. We all acknowledge that. We're all struggling trying to figure out how in God's name we bridge the gap. And the gap is getting bigger, not smaller. Throughout the whole country and here especially. I had one of your staffers asked me last week, Joe, can we hold a meeting without a demonstration? And I said, it's up to the mayor. Stop being a jerk. And you will not have demonstrations. Do you see demonstrations here today? You have not been a jerk yet. So please, Mr. Novick, Commissioner Novick.
Mr. Walsh, I just wanted to tell you that we discussed all of these amendments except for the Mercado proposal at a work session last week. I also wanted to say that I appreciate you referring to us as pirates because I think that's the most complimentary thing you've ever said about the City Council.
Okay, we can't attend all of these meetings. The public cannot attend them. They see this meeting as the most important because you take the votes. Okay, so you can't say to me, well, we did it on the work session. You know, we don't have the time to do it. I'm retired. I don't have the time to follow all the committees around. We can't do it. We are here, and I know that's at a disadvantage because there's so much work done before you even get it. However, this is the community speaking to you, not just me, but a lot of people.
Thank you very much. Thank you. All right, anyone else on this item? All right, so first we ought to take action on the amendments as they were proposed. So let's take Commissioner Fish's first amendment, which is this. Ma'am, you may not interrupt the council meeting. If you interrupt again, you'll be excluded.
You took my phone away.
You will be excluded if you interrupt. Okay, let's take Commissioner Fish's first amendment, which is the three positions in the Water Bureau. So take a vote on that, please.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
I thought the pirates meant R, not I. Aye.
Fish?
Thank you, colleagues. Aye.
Saltzman?
I just wanted to thank the Water Bureau and Commissioner Fish's office for providing me a detailed analysis of this amendment. Aye.
Hales.
Aye. Okay, now I'll take up the second one, which is the Mercado emergency repairs, $20,000.
Novick.
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
I want to thank my colleagues on this, and I also appreciate the feedback that the mayor and I got. We will administer these funds wisely. We will provide an accounting, and we will make sure these funds are net of other funds that the aggrieved small businesses receive from insurance and other sources. This is our way as a body, however, to forcefully speak out against someone who would vandalize the trucks and the small businesses of immigrant entrepreneurs. It is shameful, and I'm proud of this council for stepping up. Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Hales.
You know, there was this, obviously, last week while we were having this council meeting, we had this huge disaster in Northwest Portland, and I'm happy to see our city bureaus coming together to work on how do we respond to that. So when we have a situation in our small business community like this, one way or another, we ought to try to be there, and I appreciate this
very
much.
Mayor, can I just also acknowledge that driving back from the site visit to report to you, your office immediately said, co-sponsor, and you want to move on this? And thank you for your leadership.
Yeah, thank you. It's a good piece of work. Aye. Okay, let's take Commissioner Novick's amendment with respect. Notice are there questions about it? There was testimony, which I think we can answer as we vote, but very good points made. Commissioner Novick's amendment about the RV program.
Novick.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Hales.
Point was raised here that I think I want to emphasize, and that is we ought to be exercising, and I hope and expect that we are, great sensitivity about what happens when we do tow somebody's vehicle, whether it's their automobile or their RV. And I expect and will hold people accountable that we do that. Once one has been towed, then what I believe the intent of this program is to do triage and say that one can be repaired and used as housing for people that are desperate for housing. Good. That's what we should be doing. The ones that are beyond repair are the ones that should be, obviously, recycled. So that's our expectation about this program. It's a little bit of a pilot project. Obviously, the council's going to want to hear back about how it's working as a program and how it's working for the people affected, but I think it's worth a try. Thank you. Aye. Okay. Commissioner Saltzman's amendment, one FTE added to the Housing Bureau's budget.
Novick.
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Okay, and that's all the amendments, I believe. So then let's take a vote, please, on the fall supplemental budget as amended.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz.
Well, thank you, Mayor, for your last full budget submission and for many of the things that are in it. It is an emergency ordinance, so I will be voting for it, despite some of the concerns I've raised. I'm particularly pleased that the Council agreed to continue implementing the policy that I led, dedicating 50% of all ending fund balance and one-time money, which this is, to capital projects in transportation, parks, and emergency preparedness. It's really important to see these maintenance needs funded in the bump, and disappointing to see that many others still need funding. I'm particularly grateful that there are funds for additional park rangers to help patrol along the Springwater Corridor in East Portland. I was concerned about the Better NATO seasonal park because it seemed like $350,000 for one summer of temporary bollards seemed a bit high. So thank you for your staff letting me know what it's for. It's actually for 5 years, so about $70,000 a year. I am still a bit concerned that the administrative costs and outreach and contingency are almost $150,000, so that's over 40% of the allocation. That's still of concern. And obviously, I'm glad that the Helper in Partnership has been forged and that you've been able to get the property owners to pitch in so that that lovely resource can be preserved and maintained, and glad for the $1.5 million. What I've been doing when I get requests from affluent neighborhoods to fund something and to partner with parks, I try to find the money with system development charges or other things to, at the same time, provide improvements in neighborhoods that don't have parks. So I am disappointed that the council is choosing basically to take the money from the sale of the property to housing, which we'll bring to you on November 16th, taking that money as the match for the repairs in Forest Park and elsewhere, which then leaves me with not the $1.2 million that I was hoping to get to put to parks in East Portland. But thank you again, Mayor. I appreciate your partnership. Aye.
Fish.
Mayor, I want to join Commissioner Fritz in acknowledging this is your last official budget act, and thank you for the skillful way you've handled this and other budgets. I think for a casual observer, this seems to be relatively drama-free, but we have to make tough choices around competing requests and values. So I want to thank you. I thought this was a particularly effective budget modification process. I want to thank Andrew and his team because they do all the hard work and make it look easy. I want to thank my colleagues for the discussions we've had and the consensus that we arrived at, and I want to thank the public for helping to shape this. There's a number of things in here that I really care about. I'm pleased that we're carrying over money to help Dan fund winter shelter. Winter shelter is a basic service we need to fund, and the partnership between the city and the county is bearing fruit. I'm really pleased that Steve is getting some money to make progress on Vision Zero. You don't have to just be one of the two people up here whose lives have been touched by tragedy to understand that Vision Zero has to be at the center of what we do as a city. And people should have an absolute right to expect that the sidewalks and streets are safe. And Steve, you've been a champion for Vision Zero, and it is an audacious goal, and it's a goal that will be very hard to reach. But it's a goal that we'll get closer to if we make these kinds of investments. And I particularly appreciate all the community partners who educated me about the benefits of Better NATO on a seasonal basis and the imperative of, on an equity basis, of going out to East Portland and addressing this challenge where people are dying at an alarming rate. I want to thank our friends from the Halperin Conservancy. What Commissioner Fritz and I and all of us who had the honor of being commissioners in charge know is that the needs of our system outstrip our ability to pay for them. So when public-spirited individuals and companies come forward and say, we're going to contribute through a partnership for the benefit of our city, we need to embrace that and say thank you. And I deeply appreciate that Commissioner Fritz is investing the bulk of our resources in the places that have gone without for so long. And one of her legacies will be a developed park system in East Portland that 10 years ago was a dream, but there was no real path forward. But it is also important that when we have a master work like the Halperin sequence, that we invest in maintaining it. I believe it'll be another destination place in our city when it's restored. We can't do this without private partners. Randy, thank you for literally writing the book. Karen and Randy and all the partners, thank you for raising the money. And I also want to acknowledge something Commissioner Fritz said. It was under her leadership that we took the step of saying 50% of these funds would be dedicated to major maintenance. And that, of course, responded to a public that said we're not investing enough in maintenance. But it was the kind of symbolic and substantive gesture that has borne fruit. And millions of dollars is now going to major maintenance that otherwise wouldn't have. And I think we owe her a debt on that. And finally, on the Mercado, the one question I've received in the last 24 hours in terms of pushback is, why would we invest in the Mercado, this group of small business people, and not others? The answer is we do invest in others. Under this mayor, we have invested a ton of money through the Portland Development Commission in supporting small business, access to capital, storefront improvements, investments in infrastructure. That's all in aid of small business. You've also increased funding for the Venture Portland, which helps the 50 neighborhood business districts prosper. When there's an emergency, we always step up and ask what we can do, as you indicated, along 23rd Street. And I thank you and Dan for the prompt way you're on site and that you were reaching out to folks. So the Mercado is a project of this city. It's part of our core strategy of equity and opportunity. And when someone vandalized those trucks, they struck at the heart of something we're trying to do, which is to give people that have been shut out a chance to prosper. And the modest investment we made there in helping new immigrants chase a dream is something we should be all proud of. And this modest investment is a way of saying shame on the person or persons that tried to prevent them from earning a living. And I'm proud to be on a council that would act to remedy that wrong. Again, Mayor, thank you for your leadership. And Andrew, the ending fund balance is just under $2 million. You said you wanted us to keep a reserve. We could have spent that money, but we've shown the discipline of keeping it in a rainy day account if we need it down the road. And I'm pleased that we've done that in this budget as well. Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Hales?
Well, some people say budgets are boring, and they might be to many people, but I have, like Mayor Katz did, put a lot of my time and effort into the city's budget during the time that I've served the city as mayor. So this is my last opportunity to do that, and I'm very proud of this one, even though it's obviously the smaller element of the budget process compared to the big annual budget. And that's consisted of both emergency response. The first big budget we worked on was one that was $21 million in the red when we started. And we have done well together, I think, in trying to make these budget decisions. So I want to thank my colleagues for good work. And you're right, it sometimes appears like there's no drama about the budget, but there is, because as you can tell, people are passionately concerned about serving the community, and we do that in lots of different ways, and there's never enough money to do everything that we want. I also want to second the commendations to you, Amanda, for having this policy here that when we have extra money, we spend at least half of it on capital investment. That's just good management, and you put that into our DNA as a city, and it's very good that that's how we operate. I'm very proud of some of the elements of this budget. I mean, the fact that we are restoring the Halperin sequence with people that have worked so hard to make that happen. You know, the parks and fountains of our city, they may happen to be located in one particular neighborhood. I have a particular love for Laurelhurst Park. I don't live in that neighborhood anymore, but that's where my kids first wandered around a city park. So whenever I go there, I see my kids on cardboard sliding down the hill in the snow. And so that park is a treasure for everybody, whether they live in that neighborhood or not. And it's the same with the Halperin sequence. So I think it's a proud moment when we invest in those places that make Portland, Portland. I'm very happy that we're fixing the Southwest Community Center roof, although frustrated that we had to, because when I was the Parks Commissioner, we passed the first bond, and you've helped us pass the second one, Commissioner, that started reinvesting in our park system. And every time I go in one of those community centers, I say that was good work. And it's always they're always full of life and activity. And so we've got to make sure that that sticks around. So putting that building right is something that we simply must do. I'm very happy about Better NATO. And by the way, in terms of community involvement, I want to thank the hundreds of people who've let us know that that's a priority for them in this city. It really helped, I think, make the case that having more safe places to bike and expanding the public realm for bicycles in this city is something that we're still committed to, and Better NATO, this version of it, is a step in that direction. And then finally, this this investment in Vision Zero is something that I really want to commend you, Commissioner Novick, and the Transportation Bureau for making a priority. You know, gang violence is still a serious problem in this city. Although it's down 20% from last year, we've had 1,069 shots fired, 39 people wounded, 2 people killed. We've had, I think, 15 homicides in this city. But we've killed 34 of our fellow citizens with cars. And that's the number one threat to public safety in our city. We had Fawn Langanis, the mother of Fallon Smart, here at this table a few weeks ago, talking about the hole in her heart from her daughter's death on Hawthorne when she was run over by a reckless driver. So Vision Zero is real, and it's human, and it matters. And that's why I'm very proud that we're making that investment as well. Budgets are how you put values into action. This is good action, and I'm very proud of it. Thank you all very much for our work on this. Andrew, you have been a pleasure to work with. You get to work with really smart people at this table, and you're one of them. And the folks that you've assembled in our budget office are the best in the business, as it was just, I think, validated by the Bloomberg Foundation in the recognition for the work that we're doing on data and open government. But just the quality of analysis that goes into this budget process, the coherent philosophy about spending money intelligently, well, and prudently that you represent every time in every meeting, public or private, is something that's a real asset to the city. So I want to commend you and the City Budget Office for serving us and the whole community very well. Finally, my own staff has worked a long time on budget issues. Finding time to do that in the midst of everything else. So Tara and to all the folks in our office, thank you for good work as well. I'm very proud of this day. Aye. Thank you very much. Okay, let's move on, please, to